listening to the Warden Alumni Executive Education Podcast.
Hello and welcome everyone to the Wharton Alumni Executive Education Podcast. I'm your host Alex Gromatsky, and today I have the privilege of interviewing Abhishek Agarwal, who is the president of the Judge Group India, and he has also done a TEDx talk and written a book on the 3i effect. So we're going to dive into all those things, which I'm really excited about. So thank you for listening and thank you for being on today.
Hey, thank you, Alex. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, well, I'm really grateful to have you on. You're one of the people that graduate from the advanced management program at Wharton, which is a very highly sought after program they have over there. It'd be great to hear a little bit about your story and what your journey was like becoming president of the Judge Group, and also just your history and background, because I know you started working in India, I think at a company called Genpact. So you've had quite the journey to now be, you know, living in Pennsylvania and doing what you're doing over here. And I think that's all in the talent recruitment space.
That's correct. Most of it, yeah. So to start with, I would say that after Genpact, I joined a company called BirlaSoft, and that's where I came to US. It's been almost like 17 years now that I'm in US. As far as the journey of my Wharton program is concerned, fortunately or unfortunately, this program was conducted while COVID was around. So what happened that during the COVID time, since we were not able to attend the classes in person, the program got stretched over the period of 9 months. And it was a batch of around like 55, 60 odd people. All of them were the senior executives from the respective companies that they came from. And every month we used to have like two or three classes. So that really helped us. A program which generally is around 6 or 7 weeks residential program got stretched into 9 months. And over the period of 9 months, we were, you know, talking to each other, discussing different things, studying each other, you know, during the program. So that was a different part of it. What we really liked is the duration, because it was stretched over the 9 months. That gave us basically the sense of, I would say, belongingness, you know, for the entire group. And most of us would know each other for the matter of the fact, which generally is not the case when you generally attend, you know, 5 to 6 residential program at one stretch. So that was the benefit of that program. Great program. We are still in touch with most of the people. As far as the group is concerned, a lot of them are in and around, I would say, in the eastern region, so that also helps. So that's it from the program standpoint, Alex. And yeah, I was talking about my journey. So I came to US in 2006, 2007, I would say, with my family. Prior to that, I used to travel and been into multiple roles since then. You know, talent acquisition, sourcing is just one piece of it, but I've managed the entire business. I mean, currently I'm managing the entire Asia Pacific business for the company Judge Group that I'm working for. It's been around close to 8 years now that I've been with Judge Group, and I'm actually the president for Judge India and the global delivery. That's what.
So thank you for sharing that with me. So what do you do on the day-to-day basis with the Judge Group? Are you able to expand on that a little bit?
Sure. As I said, my responsibility entails, you know, both the global delivery as well as, you know, managing the entire business for the Asia Pacific region, specifically India and the countries around. So from day-to-day perspective, it's more of managing the team, the senior people that I have in my team. I mean, it's more of managing those people. I would divide it into two categories, basically. You know, managing clients and managing people. So that's what my day-to-day activities would entail. And then team, again, these people, they come from different areas. You know, the head of sales, for example, for, let's say, the artificial intelligence space, the head of sales for the ServiceNow, the practice head for, let's say, the technology solutions, the finance head for the respective region. So it is a combination of basically the senior level people for the different, or I would say, the major departments in any company. And from the client aspect, it's more about managing the client's relationships, you know, really ensuring that what we are doing for them, it's adding value to them.
Thank you for sharing that. So what is it essentially that the judge group does on database base? Because you talked about also artificial intelligence and servicing clients' needs, and I'm looking at your background here. Is it that you guys provide them with talent that they need short-term, long-term? Are you recruiting for them? Can you expand a little bit on that?
Sure. So Judge Group as a company, we are primarily into three major areas. You know, one is staffing, other one is IT consulting and solutions, and third one is the learning. So these are the three major areas that we are into. So to your question, yeah, we do provide talent, you know, short term and long term, depending on the client needs. Generally, we provide talent in the space of IT and healthcare. I mean, that's the major area we really work in. Beyond that, we also provide talent, I would say, in other areas, but not to the level of healthcare and IT. Other areas like maybe, let's say, for some manufacturing companies, if they are looking for, you know, the production engineer, or maybe, let's say, the floor engineer, people like that as well. But that's something very different and not the majority, I would say, from the company standpoint. The other aspect is about the IT solutions and the services. This is more of the project work that we do for the companies or the clients that we work for. It means that we provide the solutions around the technology, and it could be a different technology for different clients. It could be the technology around cloud. It could be the technology around artificial intelligence. It could be the technology around the platforms like ServiceNow and all. So that's the other area. And third piece is the learning services. In learning services, we generally provide not only the tool, which is our LMS tool, that is more of the learning management system that we have developed in-house. We also basically go for the content creation, imparting the trainings, depending on the client needs, and ensuring that, you know, the client is actually measuring the learning and the activities around learning for their benefit. So just basically help the clients to grow and to go to the next level by doing these three different activities.
That makes a lot of sense. So you have to provide some technical knowledge in certain instances. You have to be able to find the right technical people in instances, because you're essentially helping the companies in areas where they may be understaffed or need a little bit more expertise. So how technical do you have to be in the role that you're in? And what was your path to get there to be able to fulfill this role? Because some of that sounds very complex, because you're helping some of the Fortune 100 companies who should be, you know, well-suited from talent perspective, and you're now finding even more unique and niche talent to service solutions that they're looking for.
So Alex, we are in the business for the past 53 years. So that says a lot. I mean, we are, you know, one of the largest IT staffing companies of US consistently, maybe for the past 20 years, while we are, I would say, in business for past 53 years. So from the background perspective, see, I'm a mechanical engineer, you know, I mean, and then thereafter, I did some definitely certificate programs in the computer science and the related areas. So that really helped me migrate more into the technical know-how of, I would say, the technology as an ecosystem. Thereafter, did my MBA and then spent my time with the IT companies only. So that really helps if you are in the environment and the ecosystem, which is more technological in nature. It helps you basically understand. It helps you ensure that, you know, what you think basically is in line with the company you are in and the requirements that you are going to fulfill. So that's one piece of it. But right now, more as a leader, I would say it helps me understand the things better on the ground, how things would be, how the solutions would be oriented or aligned for the specific client needs. So the technological background does help.
That makes sense. So you get to see what a lot of different companies are working on and what projects that they might need your help on. Are you seeing any exciting projects going on right now that you're like, wow, this is very interesting or unique? And are you able to share a little bit about some of those types of things?
Sure. So we are doing, you know, one big project actually with the University of Agriculture. And therein, we have to basically implement the system, the learning management system, in 76 universities for almost like 400,000 students. So, and it's a big project that we are doing at the moment. So the idea was that how do we ensure that, let's say if you and me are talking and we need another 100 people together in a classroom concept, how do we really bring them so that they feel they're the part of the classroom? And that's where we developed this system and solution for Ministry of Agriculture and basically brought in the AR, VR, you know, abilities. That means that you are in augmented reality or the virtual reality, and you feel as if you are sitting in the classroom. So that's very exciting, and it is AI enabled. That means that it fetches the data from different sources to develop the content and to ensure that whatever training is getting imparted is basically in line with the needs of the particular university. So it's a pretty, I would say, exciting project in terms of both developing the new solution and helping the client, you know, to go to the next level.
So it sounds like you need a lot of deep technical expertise to do that, because one, you need expertise in VR, AR, user experience, right? Delivery of what the university needs to communicate that to the students, maybe an understanding of the curriculum even as well, because that's kind of what you're going to be creating in AR content. So how do you start a project like that? That seems like such a massive undertaking. Do they just give you a vision and you come up with the creative components as well? Or is it pretty refined or to some degree? Like that just seems like such a big project to take on.
So you're right, Alex. It's a big project. And so generally what happens when something like this comes up, we do some due diligence before really embarking on the solution. We try to study that, what are the different requirements? What is that client looking as an end solution? What is the objective of the client by getting this solution in place? Like, what is the desired state? After understanding, and I would rather, you know, put the right word, the discovery mode, we do the discovery mode, and thereafter we try to analyze that, okay, this would be the best solution for this specific requirement of a client. That's how it all started. It took us a couple of months to really study and ensure that what client is actually looking for. We designed the scope of the solution and the client agreed to it. So yeah, it's basically a lengthy process. I mean, this project would go for almost 2 years before it really go for the completion, because it's 76 universities. I mean, it's not an easy task. And then training them, ensuring that they use the tool properly, it takes time.
That makes a lot of sense, because you don't just want to build a tool that nobody knows how to use and understand. I know there's lots of neat features that companies implement, but then nobody in the company actually knows how to use it. So it's kind of like a integration process as well that you have to deal with.
Yeah.
That's really exciting on that sort of thing. So is it then you guys have people in-house building these types of solutions? And then also if they want to have somebody after completion, then maybe they bring some of those people on, or is that completely separate?
So, no, we do have people in-house. So our in-house team, generally, they do this job. I mean, we bring the people from outside when the scope is really big. For example, in this case, while we had most of the people in-house, we still had to bring in around 30, 40 people from outside. We hired them, actually. So we added more people in our team, and it's a big team of around like 40, 45 people right now.
Yeah, wow. But then now that you've developed one of these solutions to some degree, other clients might come and they say, wow, this is very interesting. And we want similar solutions, you know, but here's our kind of touches on it. And then it allows you to also expand your work into different areas that you might have not taken on previously.
That's correct. So what happens once you develop something like this, definitely it rings the bell in the market space. And yeah, I mean, there are a lot of inquiries that we are getting. Clients want to understand different companies. They want to understand that what we are actually doing and how it can really complement them, this particular solution. So yeah, to your point, yes.
So it sounds like an amazing business model for the company, because you get to be in exciting areas. And then it also, once you've done that project, some degree somebody else has paid for it, and you get to see how it comes to fruition. And now you also have, you know, a new advertising for yourself, so to speak.
Perfect. Yeah.
And what was your path to get to this company? Because you worked at a few different companies before. You lived in India. What was it like for you, you know, moving from India to the United States? going from different companies, did you think that you're going to be president of the India division at some point, or what was your thoughts when you started your career early on?
So, you know, by God's grace, Alex, I would say things have been really good for me right from the beginning. Did my mechanical engineering thereafter, went to do my MBA from France, from ENPC, France, and then after that, I was in India for a couple of years. In 2006, basically, I moved to US, and it was, again, the journey has been all through with I would say the IT companies only. 2006 onwards, I'm in US, so international exposure was already there. Prior to coming to US, I used to travel to US as well before actually really coming here for good and, you know, with family. So that was not, I would say, an excitement, to be honest. It was just a regular deal for me to been to like a lot of countries since I studied outside. I mean, I've been exposed to a lot of countries and cultures before really making US a home. So that wasn't a challenge, in all honesty. But yeah, it's been good. I mean, my fundamental is simple. Either you live in your home country, which is India, or if you really have to do a work outside of India, it would be US as a preference for me. I mean, I've been to like a lot of countries, but I would prefer that if somebody has to pick either the home country, which makes sense naturally, but if not home country, then you should try to work in US, because US is definitely the land of opportunities.
Oh, yeah. And you mentioned family. So it was your wife and kids. I'm not sure that. And how old are your kids?
So I've got two boys, 18 and 12.
Okay. And is their idea to also go into IT, or what are you, I guess, educating them in or guiding them into?
So again, I mean, I'm not dictating anything to them, but as and when they seek advice, my elder one is already in a college. So he's doing computer science. So he just went to college this year. He chose basically the computer science as his major. Younger one is still too young, so I don't know what path he may tread on. But there's no comparison from our side, you know, so they would be what they want to become.
Yeah, no, that's very fair and very, so to speak, wise to say for you, and to just let them choose their own path and be there for advice if they need it.
Yeah.
Good for you. How has your life changed or been different than you thought it might be 20 years ago? I know you touched on India and traveling was very common for you. Did you think you're going to end up in the US, or what did you think your career was going to be like?
So in all honesty, I did not. You know, I mean, I knew that there would be a lot of travel since I'm in the job, the type of job I am in, but I never thought that I would be in US forever. You know, so that's something which 20 years back was not there on the radar. The whole reason I went back was to be closely associated with the parents and the family over there in India. But yeah, this is what the life is. This is what you were destined for, now I think. And destiny takes you. I mean, it helps you basically take certain paths. And I think for me, it has been the right path.
What would you say would be one of your biggest successes or accomplishments in your life then?
So, sense of realization and sense of accomplishment is there once you feel that what you have done has actually added value to the certain objectives. So the biggest accomplishment, I would say, would be from the professional aspect, would be to set up the right models for the different companies that I have worked for, and ensuring that those models actually have added a lot of value to the company. So that has been the success, and not only with Judge Group, but prior to Judge Group as well. But yeah, with Judge Group, it has been a tremendous success for the company so far. The model that I have put in place, you know, establishing the APAC region for the company, especially India, and ensuring the delivery that happens from India is basically helping the company to grow. So that's on the professional side. Personal side, Alex, no complaints. Honestly speaking, happy family is what you need, right? And that's what That's what I'm blessed of.
Happy, healthy family, yeah.
Yep, happy and healthy family.
So then on the flip side, though, what's one of the biggest obstacles or struggles that you've had to overcome and deal with?
I believe, honestly speaking, I won't call them as an obstacle. You know, I mean, I never had an obstacle wherein I felt that, look, this is something which is actually not helping me go to the next level or not helping me move. So since you've asked, it's more of, I would say, it's basically choosing among the best, sort of an obstacle that I always have. That, let's say, if this is doing good, how do we really make it better? So that's an obstacle I always have in my mind, that how do we go to the next level? How do we ensure that if we are doing good, then how can we make it more better? So that's a battle I generally fight, but again, that's internal to me, not external.
Yeah, or if I can think of it a slightly different way, you know, challenges are just something that are learning experiences that you can overcome and that help you do more diligence or spend time on something. And then from that, you can look at what options are available to deal with that situation. So interesting.
That's interesting.
Where did that mindset come from? Because, you know, it's definitely not a victim mindset. It's definitely, you know, a growth mindset. Has it always been there, or?
So it has always been there. And one more thing I would like to add, you know, since you asked about the accomplishment. So over the period of last 20 years or maybe more than 20 years, Alex, what I have analyzed, you know, and I have basically done a TEDx talk as well. You know, you can find it on YouTube. I've spoken about the 3I mantra. And 3I is nothing but it's more of, I would say, the intent, intelligence, and integrity. So this is something which I generally talk to people. I've actually authored a book as well, which is Amazon bestseller for some time, which was, you know, the 3I effect. So that book has already been published a couple of years back, I believe, 2 years back. So what I've analyzed and gathered is that if we put in these three simple traits in any aspect or any relationship, things will bound to be changed. What it may infer is that, let's say, if somebody is going through a tough time, right, and somebody wants to really come out of that time, it's more about the intent there. You know, I'm not saying that you need to be intelligent, you need to do PhD, or you need to be the master in something. Intelligence is more about your ability to gather what's happening in the surrounding and accordingly react on that. So, and the third part is integrity. You need to be honest, you know, in terms of what you do. You need to be very clear that if you're doing something, this is what I'm doing, and I'm doing it with full, I would say, conviction. So it has to be an honest action or reaction from your end. So if you integrate these three aspects, you can come out of any damn situation you are into, whether it's good, whether it's a bad situation, whether it's something wherein the relationship is not going good, and it's applicable to everyone, employee, employer, a student who is aspiring to go to a good college. If they really apply these three mantras with intent, integrity, and intelligence, they can make anything happen.
And you said intent, integrity, and intelligence. Do you think it has to be in that order? Because what I think is so important is integrity when I listen to people and observe the world. Because if you're not honest about the situation, how can you even be intelligent about the options you have?
So you rightly said, Alex. I mean, fundamentally, I tell people that if you don't have integrity, forget about intelligence and intent. Yeah. So that's something which is paramount. That is something which has to be there for other two factors to drive in. So, you know, if you're not honest, what's the point of being in having intent? You know, and there's no point applying mind to it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. How did that framework come to be, and where did that come from? Because I think that's very refreshing and very powerful way to think about life.
So that's, I shared the story, I mean, in my TEDx talk. So what happened? I was flying from, in 2009, I was flying from London to New York, you know, and next to me was, and it was after this big recession, right? You remember 2008 recession, a lot of things were going bad in terms of the economy, the companies. So next to me was sitting a senior executive from one of the big companies or big banks, I would say, in US. So he started talking to me and we just started conversing. And so he asked me, Abhishek, that you know, it's been such a bad situation, that how do we ensure? And I was actually into the talent acquisition, heading the talent acquisition for Birlasoft at that time. So he asked me, like, what do you really look for in an individual? How do you ensure that if you are actually getting someone in your team or in the company, that person is definitely going to work better for us or integrate with us? And that question intrigued me, Alex. I had no answer, I mean, at that time, but then I started thinking on it later. And slowly and gradually over the period of time, I realized that if we really have to look for some fundamentals, some basic things in an individual, these would be the three major aspects about the integrity, intellect, and your intent. And with these three aspects in picture, you can do wonders. Started applying, you know, this formula in majority of the work-related, I would say, parameters, really worked well. Forget not only about the hiring of the people, but, you know, in any process or any challenges that we have encountered in the company. So we did that. Apparently, I mean, one of my friends, he was going through a difficult stage of separation. So we were just speaking and he said that, look, things are, there's nothing wrong, but it's not going good. I said, Amit, why don't you apply this formula of 3I? You know, your intent is there, but are you really honest to maintain the relationship or continue the relationship? And your intent is really full intent or half intent? And if you can really measure these two aspects, then just apply the mind, you know, how we can save it. Eventually, they managed to save the relationship just by the application of these three, I would say, fundamentals. So I mean, and COVID helped me to really pin it down. It was all there in terms of the live examples, the relationships, you know, the associations that wherein I put in this concept. And that's where I penned down the book. I said, we have a lot of time, no traveling. Let's do something which I've gathered as an experience over the past 20 odd years. And that's where the book came into the picture.
I'm definitely going to have to check out that book because that seems very, very true to me.
And the name of the book is 3I Effect.
So it's just the number three. And
number
then
three, I, as in India, effect.
Okay, I'll have to check it out. For sure.
I'll show you. Maybe I'll have.
Okay. If not, I'll find it online somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the 3I effect. Okay, yeah. Perfect. I like it. So I'll check it out because so many things ring true in what you said. Personally as well, in my relationship with my wife, I've discovered that, you know, honesty is absolutely the most important part. Talking about the integrity, I read the book. I think it's called Integrity by Henry Cloud. And there was so many great lessons in it from business leaders as well about the importance of integrity and honesty. So actually, in the inside of my wedding ring, it says unconditionally known, because one thing I believed is that if I'm unconditionally known, I can be unconditionally loved. If I'm not unconditionally known, I can't feel unconditionally loved because I always feel like there's parts of me that are hiding. So interesting concept on that side of things. And then the intelligence piece, like you said, you know, I've experienced self-deception. I've experienced rationalization. I've experienced, you know, wanting to minimize things. So always being honest in those situations, saying, no, these are the facts. This is what's true. Kind of the point is super important. And then the intent, I guess the intent could be, you know, to cause harm or to do good, right? Or something else. So the intent part is something I haven't given thought about, because I think we all in our own ego or mind want to be good or seen as good, but that does not mean that that's our intent. You talked about, you know, half intent. So those are some very interesting concepts that you bring up there.
So yeah, that's what I mean. And it's again very fundamental, right? People are in such a mess. And I mean, especially nowadays with an advent of the technology, you know, all this social media and everything. I can just say that just be grounded, man. I mean, you don't need to do much in life. And just apply this formula, things will be much better, for sure.
But what made you want to write a book? Because, you know, going from business to then, you know, having, I'm going to say, this inside a revelation or somebody challenging with these questions, what made you then want to write a book and share this?
So, as I said, I mean, I thought, let me actually pen it down, because this was something which was coming from the live experiences. So I thought, let me really relate it to the different aspects of life, different relationships of life, be it between husband and a wife, you know, be it between an employer and an employee, a student who is aspiring to go to a good college, or any association for the matter of the fact. You know, even if you talk to your kids, even if you talk to basically someone in your own family, you can apply it there if things are not working out. So I thought, let me actually help from my side, whatever I can do, if I can really release this book and, you know, publish it. It may be helpful for some people.
Well, I think the conversation's already been helpful for me to just frame life in another different perspective. So I appreciate you sharing that.
Anytime, Alex.
Yeah, is there anything that we didn't cover or go over in this conversation that you want to touch on that I might have not dove into?
I'm good, unless you want to understand something more from my standpoint.
Well, I appreciate your time today and appreciate you being on. So thank you for sharing your time.
Anytime, and I appreciate your time as well. I wish you and your family a very happy Thanksgiving, Alex. And you guys have a great time ahead.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.